Before we get too far into this thing, racetech.com. Please check them out. Tell me listen to Pulp MX. Tell me listen to Steve Mathis Show. And save with the folks at Racetech. Get your suspension dialed in. There's authorized Racetech service centers all across America. The Gold Valve, Revalve in a Box. That thing's fantastic. They do motor work as well. They got service centers all across the states. Like I mentioned, vintage stuff they're big on. So if you got an older bike, you need to get tuned up. All of it, man. Racetech.com. Great guys. They've been in sport forever. And tell me listen to Pulp. You get a discount. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. This is the Seattle Review with myself, Steve Mathis, Jason Thomas, Jason Wygant. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Pulp MX code saves you with flyracing.com. So you go directly to Fly Racing's website, put in Pulp MX code, and save with those guys, whether it's a Formula helmet, whether it's goggles, boots, the Evo gear, Kinetic Mesh, all of it. They got colors. They got everything going on. BOA closure system on most of their things. They got five different pairs of gloves you can pick as well from. And they got hard parts and protection and everything, man, at flyracing.com. Mountain bike stuff also. And the Pulp MX code saves you with those guys. So use that code and save direct with the folks at Fly. Flyracing.com. RJ Hampshire, Dean Wilson, Justin Brayton, Trey Kennard, Cooper Webb. So on and so forth. Go on down the line. Chance Hymus. They all wear in Fly Racing. So thank you to folks at Fly for going on and coming on the show. Appreciate it. Thank you to Maxxis Tires as well. Great mountain bike tires that you know about. And they have light truck tires, trailer tires, all of it available at Maxxis.com. McGrath developed this latest tire that the PRMX guys and Freddie Norin are using. Freddie Norris in the main event in Seattle, and Hunter Yoder doing really good things in the 250 class on Maxxis tires. So Maxxis.com, a gift from the science nerds to you. The IT, the ST, all of it available, Maxxis.com. And Renthal as well. You look at Renthal, it's on the bikes of factory Honda, factory Kawasaki, Red Bull KTM, right? Renthal.com, great sprockets, chains, and people don't know their chains are fantastic. Lock-on grips doing really well. They've introduced that. And I've got a set on my bike as well. So lock-on grips are great. All the compounds, all the textures, everything available from Renthal. And, of course, handlebars, right? 7/8, twin wall, fat bar 36. Check it out, Renthal.com, for more information. They got a bar chart on there. They got a dealer inventory locator on there as well. Really cool website. Mountain bike parts as well going on at Renthal.com. We'll tell you more about Motorsport.com later on in the show. But here's Weege, JT, and I discussing Seattle, silly season, and more. Thanks for listening. All right, everybody, let's dive into Seattle Supercross and all that happened there this weekend. It was really, really good racing, as I mentioned off the top. And again, thank you to Fly Racing, code Pulp MX to save direct from the guys at Fly. And if you can do that, you can go on there and order a set of the Kinetic gear that Cooper Webb was wearing this weekend when he won, and use the code Pulp MX to save. All right, first up from the booth in Seattle, the man caught his flight Saturday night after the race. We had a bit of an early program, and he is doing the pod today. You might know him best from GNCC, though. It is the Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah, this weekend might have been an all-time peak of efficiency and the amount of things that got done in a 48-hour span, and that's really all I shoot for. That's all about peak efficiency. I'm like the Doge of time management, so I was very happy with the weekend.
This goes back to your tweet about multitasking. Same thing, same idea.
That's where I came up with that. Yeah, I said if you're not multitasking, you're not really tasking. Getting three or four, if I'm doing only one thing at once, it's not cutting it. So this weekend was hot to the gills, including our live show and many other things. And by the way, the racing was just unbelievable and spectacular, but I'm still high on the efficiency, so I can't even get to the racing yet.
Also on the line from Fly Racing, flyracing.com, it's Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
Not much. I admire Weege's efficiency and his dedication to the red eyes, because even to make it to MotoGP today, which I saw Ken Roczen there, there are people there that have done this many times in the past. I'm unwilling to do it. I hate red eyes more than I could ever tell you. So you're a better man than me, Weege.
I'm just a less ill with Epstein-Barr man than you, I think.
This is the same man who just, on early morning flights, skips the hotel, JT, and goes to a restaurant and waits for his flight. So he's not right. Like, he's not sane.
I mean, like, Steve, if you don't sleep at all, like, are you just like, yeah, I'm fine.
No.
I'm good.
No, I'm a bag of shit.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not. So,
I mean, I probably...
Like, yes, Weege, your point remains, sure. But, like, you just being fine is amazing.
I'm not as... I'm probably in the middle. Like, Weege can function on no sleep, and JT needs lots of sleep, and I'm probably in the middle. But I can't function like Weege. Yeah, absolutely not.
I don't feel fine at all.
Doesn't bother you.
I don't have a choice. Everybody asks why I do all the stuff I do. I'm like, because I don't have a choice. That is why.
All right, let's get into it. So, look, last week I didn't go to Birmingham, and I came on this podcast, and I wrote my column, and I was like, hey, they can't all be masterpieces, and it was kind of a boring night of racing, and not much happened, and et cetera, et cetera. But overall, it's been a great season, is something that I've been saying, and I'm saying that again. Last night was fantastic. Weege, you mentioned it. Great racing. Fantastic. Roczen led, Sexton Webb. The 250 class was Cole Davies coming out party, and we had all the drama behind it. Like, the track was hammered, and it presented an obstacle within itself. It was a great night of racing. Yeah, really, really fun in Lumen Field. So the series continues to be a good one this year in 2026. So 2025, sorry. We are talking 2026, silly season later on. That's why I said that. But
sorry, got in your head.
Yeah.
No, I agree. That Birmingham, they can't all be winners thing, it's gone. We're right back to just complete chaos. I can't even think of how many races I've left this year saying, dude, this is great. It's just like, add another one. Another one to the list.
Yeah, and we don't have Tomac or Jet Lawrence or Hunter, you know?
I know.
Yeah, but it's still turning out to be really, really good. By the way, too, we said this before. Count me in on that program that we had. Like, you could stretch out those qualifiers a little more. For sure, they were kind of short. They wanted to save the track. They wanted to give time for maintenance and all that. But the 5:30 opening ceremonies, I think, and then the 8:00, 8:30 wrap up, and then the two practice. Count me in. Where do I vote? How do we get that happening? I don't know. I just loved it. That was great.
I mean, you're not alone. Like, JT, I'm sure you hear it all weekend. I hear it all weekend. As when the weekends where they don't have free practice. How many times, JT, do you hear, they should just not have free practice all the time? I hear it nonstop. Do you?
Yeah. It seems like it's for the best. I will throw this in there. If we're going to go daylight savings where we're basically racing in the daytime, like, you know, in the opening ceremonies and most of the racing is under daylight hours, let's just go full day schedule. I'll throw that out there. Let's skip free practice. So now the first practice is at what? I don't know, 9? And let's go full day schedule, and we're done by 6. Like, I'll even add that to it. Let's go even earlier. If we're gonna miss the opening ceremonies, darkness, you know, vibe stuff, just go all the way with it.
Yeah, I mean, we're back on the West Coast, so again, adjusting the time for the East Coast, right? So it's partly why they did it. Now, I was told by someone last year, a VIP, a gentleman who would know, that free practice in 2025 was getting eliminated. I think I even wrote it and I talked about it because I figured this guy would know, and it turned out to be nothing of the sort. And then I kind of was asking about it, and they're like, they don't want to get rid of it because it allows for track changes. So years ago, and this was such a rant of mine, and I wrote it in observations, they would literally cut sections out or change sections between the second practice and the third practice, which would drastically affect qualifying time. It was insane that they did this, and they did. And so they've decided, like, we can't do that. Great, it only took them 15 years. So they want to leave the track for qualifying 2 and qualifying 3 exactly the same. And so if they get rid of free practice 1, they will not be able to make track changes because they base it off free practice 1 to make the changes to not affect the qualifying sessions. So I understand that theory, but can we just not make track changes at all? You know, I don't know. Like, that's the theory on why we still have a free practice, which makes sense. But
a good reason.
You know, I don't know. Can we? Yeah. I mean, I hate the fact that, and I did the research on this one time, like after a track change in San Diego, like some dude that couldn't, had a bike issue in the third session, literally didn't make the night show, but he was fast enough, but just the track changed so much that his second practice, first qualifying time didn't count. So it does happen, but I don't know. I mean, can we get the track crew close enough and then make small changes, really, really small changes if we need to? I don't know, but getting rid of free practice seems like a great idea. We need the tracks to stay better. We were there too long. The riders do not need the extra time to master the track, quote unquote. So that's my race tech rant to start this podcast. That was a great program. Let's do that more.
If that's the reason why, then I think keep it. I mean, I don't feel like this is not indentured servant torture to have to say, yeah, professional athlete, you got to ride the motorcycle for 8 more minutes or something like that. I mean, that to me is not a massive hardship. I'm sure they would prefer not to. But I do think we've seen some really good racing the last, I don't know, month or so. And I think it's just based on one conversation with Ezra Lusk. This is shocking, I know, but they have an ex-professional now really weighing in on track changes. And shockingly, the tracks seem more raceable. So I don't want to mess with that. Obviously, this track was raceable without the free practice. But Ezra's told me subtle things he sees on press day or free practice that adjustments are made and you get two lines in a corner. So I'd hate to remove that.
Yeah, even that flat corner after the Supercross triple in the middle. You know, you generally look at a flat turn like that, and you're like, oh, geez, that thing turned out great. There was different ruts. I don't know what they did, or you know what I mean? Like, things like that where you were like, oh, that's a good racy part of the track. So that normally those things kind of suck. So, yeah, I'm with you. I talked to Yogi at the end of the night, and I was talking to Yogi and J-Bone, and, Yogi's in. He's going to do, like, 7 outdoors and all 3 SMXs and then most of the remaining Supercrosses. He likes it. He's having a blast. So, Ezra Lusk, everybody, coming in. Not JT, not on my bingo card 10 years ago to be like, you know who's going to really help the Supercross series as an official? Ezra. not on my bingo card.
Yeah, I would probably agree. But, things change. Priorities change. Kids grow up. You know, all those things happen. And then you have more free time than you thought you would.
Yeah, he's just not, you know, one of those he's not looking for the limelight. He's not one of those guys that wants, you know, well, I don't know. Just, it's awesome, though. He's a smart guy. It's good to have him. And they were checking. They brought an official in from the JGR days, Johnny Oler, and they were checking shocks because there's a production rule for suspension in the 250 class. I don't know if people know that, but you can't use full work stuff in 250 class. And they were checking shocks this year. So, and they actually pulled them apart, which is great. Yep. When I was a mechanic, they would pull the shock off and look at it and then just put it back on. And then I had a suspension guy tell me, dude, we could totally cheat inside. These guys don't even pull the shock apart. I'm like, yeah, figures.
Right? What would make it illegal on internals?
Piston placement, how many pistons, circlip stuff, all that kind of stuff. So
that would make. Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you just have to – it has to resemble a production-based shock.
Oh, I see. So 450 shock internally could be
– No, just different. Factory, just works a work shock internally can be much different. So,
but I'm saying the 450, they could do that, where a 250, they can't.
What do you mean a 450, they could do that?
The rule is different.
Rule, right? Oh, yeah, 450.
The rule is different.
Yeah, the rule is different. 450, you can do anything. Okay. Yeah.
So, like, Joe's shock cannot be the same as Jet's shock.
Exactly. Okay. It's small stuff, but there are differences. Yep. And you got to be able to buy it. So you have to be able to buy Joe's shock. And
right.
So they do, yeah. But anyways, it's good to see I'm just continuing the praise for the AMA. It was good. They pulled them apart. Johnny Oler pulled the shocks apart. So
I could not believe that Johnny Oler was the guy. He's one of my best friends. I didn't know about this. Yeah. I was like, what is going on?
Who's gonna
showed me stickers, the tech inspection stickers over the shock. So you can't,
get open it.
Tech and then change it. Yeah.
Yeah. Who's going to be the next JGR guy to show up? Is Joe Gibbs coming out?
Yeah, maybe. Coach.
Coach? Yeah.
Coach. Yeah.
All right, let's get into the racing. A brutal track, JT. One of those ones that just, like, you know, you raced them when they were this way, but holy shit, man, just not fun. I mean, did it turn out to be a mutter? Nope. It turned out to be kind of what Phil was telling us last week, where he'd rather have it just full mutter than really soft, and then what the way it was, because it makes it so hard for these dudes.
Yeah, it's really tough, but I don't view it as like a negative. You know what I mean? Like,
I think it's
okay. You know, like, there were a lot of crashes. Okay, well, you talk about Jordan Smith. He crashed, I don't know how many times.
100.
You know, like, he was the maximum amount of crashes you could possibly have. Whatever the highest number you could pull off, he pulled it off. But I think it's just a different style of racing. Like, mm-hmm. it's a different ask for these guys. You know, it's not turn your brain off and turn the throttle on. You have to think about what you're doing. You have to decide during the race, can I continue to do this triple, or do I need to not do this triple this lap, or I'm going to crash? I like having different forms of racing, and I don't want it to always be the same where it's just like, okay, how fast can I go? The track's mm-hmm. perfect. Like, I'm good with it. And I know I didn't have to ride it, but trust me, I have ridden that type of track many times in my life. And is it always the most fun? No. But I think to have like a true world championship and to try to determine who the true best guys are on all sorts of different things, this is one of those.
Yeah, I was telling somebody it's like Southwick. Like, you got sand tracks on the national circuit, and then you have this, you know?
Yeah. It's a different thing. Like, there were tracks, Glendale, another, like, where it's just like hammer down, the track never changes, you hit the same line over and over and over. We have lots of those. This is not that, and that's okay. It's 100% okay, I think, to have races that are different like this.
It was great to watch, you know, the long rhythm, watch Chase nail that thing or not get it, or, you know, whatever. And then, you know, like Benny, I talked to Benny Bloss afterwards, and he got ninth and he rode really well. And he's like, I never even tried that thing. I like that separation, right? And Coop didn't do it very much either. So I like that kind of stuff. It's impressive to see, and Chase jumped it a few times to pull away from Coop, and then couldn't jump it. And
That step on, step off.
Yeah.
Chase was killing Coop there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out of the corner.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The long rhythm.
I don't know if Coop knew that it was that much faster. I'm guessing he did, but I would love to ask Coop, like, hey, what was up there? Because he had to just see. And Ricky did a great job. I'll give Ricky credit. Ricky called it out. I wanted to. It just wasn't the right time. The battle was too good for me to be a part of the broadcast there. But Ricky called it out about how much time Chase was making. If he would go on, off, 2, 3,
mm-hmm.
and he was making up a lot of time on Coop there. And then Coop did it one time late. And I don't know if it was just a happenstance or if he knew, but it was a big difference there.
I feel like he did it more than once. No? Did you? Were you? I feel like he did it 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, maybe, but his primary line was over.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, whatever, 2, 2, 3 or whatever. But it was significantly slower than Chase's line.
That's just the part where I think it's cool to watch these dudes and who's going to pull the trigger on something like that, right, which you knew was big and sketchy and all of that.
Yeah, for a guy like Cooper Webb, who probably knew he was losing time, and he probably thought, like, this might be why I lose the race, but he was still unwilling to change his line, that alone tells you how difficult it was.
Weege thought.
I think Coop in the press conference straight up just said, "I can't believe he was able to do it." Like,
okay,
it was just gnarly. It's especially the final three. Also, like, when that's a pretty big jump to get onto that table. And honestly, hey JT, if he didn't quite get it on the last lap, does he win the race if he does?
I don't know. Coop is so good.
It's a big gap
in those final moments.
Right.
So the way Coop was executing that next corner, he was going wide, like he was carrying speed all the way around, and then he would be on the very inside coming down that next corner. So I think Chase probably gets next to him.
Yeah.
I just think maybe Coop just paces them all the way down and then leaves them nowhere to go. But it would have been damn close.
Did you think Chase was just going to tee him up in that last turn? 'Cause
he couldn't. I think he wanted to, but –
yeah, I mean, Coop
didn't leave him an out.
I know, but the way from the press
the way
box,
he came in?
I'm like, oh my god!
For sure,
I'm like, this is Marv. This is Marv and Eli right here.
Yeah, he came barreling in there. There was no way he was not going to.
No.
Like, he would have by default had Coop left him away.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, Marv, Eli, we're getting this right here. Just bam!
That was A plus Racecraft by Coop in the last corner.
It was pretty cool to watch those guys go at it. Well, we'll talk about Kenny in a second here, but Chase did ride awesome to go 6th to 1st. He rode awesome. He passed all those dudes, and then he made a mistake. It wasn't one of those mistakes. It wasn't that kind of mistake.
No, it was a mistake. I don't think it's a fair narrative.
No.
I think this is one of the few Sexton losses where we cannot say, I don't know, man. I think it was just two guys that are really good, you know, slugging it out, and someone had to win and someone had to lose. You could probably run that race in a simulator 10 times and maybe Webb wins 6 of them and Sexton wins 4. I don't feel like this was the – he should have won. He was the best guy, and he blew it. This was just a good battle.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I feel like it has a different feel. Surely he's bummed because he didn't win, but I don't think he's bummed in the same way of, like, I 100% had this, and I just screwed up. Like, it was just tough.
Yeah, I didn't catch up to Chase, but Lewis did. He said he was fine. He said he's like,
he was.
Yeah.
He was. I talked to him, obviously, on the podium, on air and off, and he was not the – angry, devastated Chase that I've seen lately.
Yeah. Yeah, and
how crazy is it that when he got the lead, when he got passed back by Webb also messed up. It was literally, they both made mistakes, but Chase's was more devastating because he flanked like two jumps, and Webb only messed up a corner. And it was just like, I mean, that's just the way this race was. It wasn't like Webb was perfect either.
No.
It was just tough.
Before Webb took the lead for the final time, did Chase stall it like the lap before? Or did he just case
no,
something?
No, I don't think so.
He didn't never stalled it. He made another mistake. Webb didn't get him.
So did Webb.
Yeah, and I was like, oh no, is that a stall? I was just like, oh no.
No, I think he just, those guys were like getting stuck in ruts.
Yeah.
That corner that you mentioned, the flat corner, that, you know, turned some great racing. Joe hit Deegan there, Deegan hit Bomer there. Mm. Chase made a couple of mistakes in that corner. Just small stuff, you know, but like that was kind of the nature of the race. If we were watching the other riders, like they were making mistakes everywhere, you know, like it was a little deceiving because those guys were really efficient where the other guys behind them, man, it was really messy. I mean, they were lapping guys 2 and 3 times because you know, the 10th place back could barely get around the track.
250 guys got 9th. I thought the 8th or 9th 250 guys. And then speaking of that corner out of that flat turn, Chase was really making up time, doubling in. And then Coop found that. Coop was like, oh, cool, right on. I'm going to start doing that too. On the left, they were doubling in. So that was a smart adjustment by Coop again to start doing that after Chase found it, I think, by accident, trying to get around a lapper. And then it was good because you're staying out of the ruts. And, good race. Cooper Webb. Like, Sexton 6th to 1st is awesome. Great example of Chase, you know, being so talented and so good. But in the end, Cooper Webb got him. It did seem like a Cooper Webb kind of track. We talked about that earlier in the day, and he was fastest in one qualifying, I think, for the first time this year. So, there is this the narrative is Chase has more speed than Cooper Webb, and I do believe that. You can look at Chase going 6th to 1st, but the narrative should never be that Coop doesn't have speed. He has great speed. Just Chase is a little faster, maybe, you know. But, yeah.
I just think it's in different areas that you're just not used to seeing it. I mean, at one point, I think Sexton had almost 2.5 seconds on him, and he managed to get back to it. Some of that was mistakes, but I just think it's like we qualify speed as like hot lap or one lap of the main, but it's got to count for something when everybody gets slow at the end, you slow down the least. Is that speed? Because that's kind of how it works.
I got to watch it back, but didn't Chase again have a few terrible first 3 or 4 turns? Like, coming in the first turn, I swear he was like 3rd, 4th, and then he's 8th. And I'm not quite sure how it happened, but I was like, what happened here? Because I was watching him specifically. So it just ended up being he had to catch everybody again.
I'd have to look, because remember, basically, Plessinger, like, bowling balled Malcolm, so I don't know if that caused some...
Yeah.
It might have not been connected at all, but maybe.
Yeah. AP starts are on it lately, for sure, also. Really.
I want to ask you about that. I want to ask that flat corner. That we're talking about that tight left where everybody's hitting each other in 250s. Yeah, I want to ask you about that. I mean, people watching it would just be like, Why would you not just hug the inside? Why would you not? To me, it looked like the landing of the finish to get it right and go slow enough to not get it to get inside was just difficult or just so damn slow that you didn't want to do it. Is there a reason why they don't just all go inside? Why does that work in that corner?
Well, they wanted to double the first two.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If you went two out of the corner, you could go 3-3-1. And
gotcha.
If you went super tight, you had to roll the first one, double, then triple, and then double again. So it changed the whole rhythm. And guys were messing around both lines. But if you could get – and the rut got really nasty to go 2-3-3-1, but it was significantly faster.
Perfect. I just love explanations like that because I think, I just hate the term leaving the door open. And I'm like, well, it's not just pure stupidity. It's like the tracks are designed – that's what I said about bull turns. They're designed where you have to make a decision. There's not a right answer. There's two correct answers. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. That's what makes – for good racing, yes, the guys left the door open and got hit, but they were leaving the door open for a net gain somewhere else. It's just the calculus they were running,
totally.
And that's what makes it cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think Chase discovered the two in by accident trying to get around a lapper, and all of a sudden it was
they were doing that. For
oh, no, no, I know they could. Like, no, they were doing it, but, like, he wasn't doing it, and, like, whatever.
Okay, but Cooper's doing it, like, super early on. So I was going to mention that earlier, like, Cooper's doing that really early, like way before Chase was even in his scope.
Okay. Well, I must have been watching when Coop wasn't doing it, because to me, Coop switched and I was like, oh shit, okay, I'm going to start doing this.
Yeah, it got really ruddy, and then Coop started messing around, like looking at the inside, but he had been doing it from like early on.
Yeah.
And I think Chase was just like, no, this is way better. I'm not going to stop doing this. And then Coop was like, oh crap, I better do this.
Yeah. And we're talking about the rhythm after the flat turn, right? You're not talking about the long rhythm.
Like the first corner, like on the start.
Coming around that. By the way, thanks to Fly Racing, Renthal Motorsport, all on board this podcast. AP, another podium. Really good job by Aaron. He was pretty far back early on. He was, I don't know, 3 or 4 seconds adrift of the top four. And Jay Coop went down, Kenny went backwards, and AP's, what is that, 3 podiums in 4 races, I think?
Yep. And probably could have been another one.
Had he not fallen?
Yeah. Bunch of things.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? Like, pretty good job by AP turning this thing around. Tracks are getting crappier and all that, and he's riding really well. So, it's interesting to watch him and Malcolm and kind of emerging. We saw them get on the podium last week, but AP's keeping it going a little better than
Malcolm. I want to put a hypothesis out there. I think that if this was 3 weeks ago and Kenny gets the lead, I think he blitzes those whoops, and he might check out there. Like, I firmly believe that. Watching Cole Davies and those guys blitz, and watching Ferrandis blitz in the Cup first lap or two, that was a perfect setup for Kenny to show his whoop prowess there and build a gap. He didn't do it. I know he's injured, and the race went the way it did, but I really believe a healthy Kenny might have distance himself and simply the whoops alone. And then, the fatigue and the lack of strength and all the things, I think, reared its head for Kenny on that track. But in hindsight, I really think the race could have gone differently if Kenny was healthy.
Yeah, but did that line on the left go away from blitzing in 450s?
Honestly, Cole Davies was blitzing right down the middle.
Was he? Yeah, okay.
I walked him. I got to do a track report there. I was shocked that Sexton didn't go to it, because it would have been really tough, but I have seen guys do it in that spot. I think that was a spot where Kenny could have pulled it off, honestly.
I just thought Dylan went away from it because it went away itself. Like, it just got beat. So
yeah. I look at Dylan. I don't consider Dylan Ferrandis a whoop demon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he was getting away with it. He blew past Jay Coop on the first lap there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just considering Kenny's talent into the equation also, and especially early on. Even if he had to resort to jumping later, I think he would have had a gap by then if he was able to blitz.
I was talking to Kenny on track walk, and I'm like, how's his shoulder? And he's just like, I didn't ride all week. And he goes, certain movements just kills me. We talked about this last week. And like, he was just, I don't know, man, I gotta get better. It's gonna take a few weeks. The best way to miss some races, but I'm not doing that because it's near the end of the season. And like he really, being Kenny, he's being really honest about everything and you know, being open about it. But then when he goes and takes the lead, I'm sitting next to Lewis and I'm like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, there we go. Because I did think JT, like, yeah, this guy could run away with this thing. You know, it didn't end up happening. He dropped back a little bit, probably lack of practice, probably lack of strength in the shoulder, especially in those conditions. But at one point I was like, yeah, this checks out. Kenny being wounded and hurt and severely underplaying himself and then winning this thing. So it's just like, yeah, okay. Seen that before. But in the end, he got fourth. But, yeah, I thought
– I'm impressed, and I have been all year with his racecraft. Like, when Webb gets to battling him, was Roczen doing this in 2021 and 2019? I don't feel like he was. He's just willing to be more aggressive or whatever. I mean, he was really making life tough on Webb, putting the bike everywhere Webb wanted to go. And I feel like this is the stuff that everyone wanted to see in those years when they battled, and it was like, he didn't even try. And now it's like, dude, he is giving Webb everything he has.
Yeah, Weege, to your point, do you remember when JB told us that he was on the phone with Kenny, and Kenny was like, yeah, man, I'm done. I'm done, like, rolling over for people.
Yeah.
It felt like that was just that as being inactive.
How many times did it look like, Webb's going to get him here? Maybe four times? And you'd be like, no, Kenny, I'm not letting you by.
I think Webb was ready to queen him. Like, Webb, I think Webb, like, if you've ever seen the movie, like, Inside Out or whatever, where the anger guy, like, his head blows off, like, I'm pretty sure that was Cooper Webb inside his helmet.
But I feel like that's what we wanted Kenny to engage in years ago when they were battling for the title. And I don't know what changed, but I just feel like Roczen's got it now. He didn't end up winning, but, man, is he giving you everything you could ask to try to get it done.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Pretty good job by Kenny. Speaking of some silly season stuff, too, I talked to Dustin Pipes, and looks like Kenny's agent and Kenny have asked to extend their deal over there. So not done or anything like that, but they've said, hey, give us a contract, or, you know, so he might be, wow. He might be there for another year or two.
He seems happy.
Yeah.
Like, if you're assessing it from the outside, he seems like he's getting along with people, you know, like, I always look at it too, unless he went the Ducati route, like, I don't know where he would go, you know, and I don't have any insight to it. I'm just like, kind of looking around.
Yeah.
I don't know where he would end up if he didn't stay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's been a good fit for sure. Dylan fifth, that's his season best, and he felt really good. He's healthier than he was. He got transmission stuff from HRC. He got some other parts. So he told me too after the race that he was bummed that he wasn't picked for the HRC fill-in. And by the way, depending on when you're listening to this, Tuesday, Honda HRC is going to be announcing what they're going to do for the fill-in ride. Lars told us that at the live show. And Dylan said, yeah, he was a little disappointed at that, but he did get some parts. And he said, you know, I'm healthy and I've got and my bike's working really good and he's riding better. So season best for Dylan, fifth.
Wait a minute.
You look good.
Did you say Tuesday?
Tuesday.
You might want to look at a calendar. What's the date?
It's April Fool's. I know.
Oh, jeez.
I know. But I think it's for real. But it's probably something to do with April Fool's.
I already know what's happening. I just can't talk about it. But there is something happening on Tuesday.
But I think it'll tie into being April Fool's. Has to. I'm sure. You know, something funny, something, you know, something. I don't know.
The new Team Honda, everybody. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Lars, Lars came on the team on the live show. He's great, of course. And first, you know, right away I made a joke about, like, Wes McCoy, Cliff White, Dan Bentley. Yeah, they're not coming on the live show. So.
No. The fact that there'd be humor tied into any official announcement is so far from what Honda would have done in the past.
No, for sure. I talked to Justin Cooper after the race, and I told him, I'm like, hey, I know you got six, but, you won a heat race. He was fastest qualifier. He was going for the podium. He was right in the mix until the crash. And I said, you got to take this thing as a positive. And he is. But he mentioned, like, three times, a podium is what I need. And I almost think, like, his salary is so heavily based on a podium, which probably is, right? The way he said, like, I got to get podiums. That's just like, yeah, I feel like, you know, that's what he needs to get renewed and or more money. So
I did get that sense for that because you
you did ask about battling Webb, and he just said it was much more like, it doesn't matter about battling a teammate who's going for the title. I must get podiums.
Yeah, so you got that vibe too then. Yeah.
Totally. I must get podiums.
Yeah. What's that, JT?
You're talking about Justin Cooper?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that.
I'm sure he's got some sort of renewal.
I mean, think about last year, right? Like, the whole series for third, like, it seems like since his inception, the podiums have been the lightning rod for his career.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. But he rode well. He rode really good. 6-6, but, I mean, yeah, for all those things. I put this on social media right before this pod, but Star Yamaha, I was tipped off by someone there. Star Yamaha won a heat race in both classes. They won both main events. They got both hole shots. They won main events, hole shots, heat races. Oh, both were fast qualifiers, Deegan and Justin Cooper. So, yeah. Have a night, Star Racing Yamaha. Really. Like, really good job by the whole team.
Yeah, well, they had Brayton get involved with Justin Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And look now. Winning heats.
Yep.
He's better than Cooper Webb now.
Yep.
I mean,
hold on.
I mean, I saw him beat him.
Did you see Justin Cooper blitzing the whoops?
I saw him beat Cooper Webb. Like, there was a race, they were in it, and he got the checkered flag first. So this is what Brayton does, everybody.
Yeah. Got it.
Yep.
Got it. Well, I'm just Brayton. Trying to bring logic. Just trying to bring logic back to the conversation before you just run off into never land, Peter Pan.
No, he Wygant would just go with, like, yeah, the whoops didn't matter, but just working with JB would give him the
call. Yeah, totally.
I was walking up to the broadcast booth in the morning, and the great Justin Brayton is there with a steamer ready to go, steaming clothes. He's invented this idea of taking a microphone stand and hanging the clothes from it. It's like a perfect hanger for their wardrobe. And he's like, hold on. Let me steam this for you. I did the ironing in the morning in the hotel. And he's steaming the clothes. Then he's talking to some fellow people about some ideas and some initiatives that he's going to be the guinea pig on. You know, we know he rode at Indy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, by the way, he's helping Justin Cooper win heat races and hosting Race Day Live, even with an hour of no riding where they're supposed to be riding, but filling that gap.
Unbelievable. Max Sansi's agent. You know,
Matt Sassy's agent, just incredible.
Yeah, it's
Weegee's the perfect hype man.
Yeah, I got to say that the funniest thing, I put this in our group text, the Seven Deuce Deuce, he's awesome. He's a great dude. We love the Seven Deuce Deuce. He is a very entertaining individual, and he is helping Adam and Brayton announce the live stuff at night. And there's lap times are about 46 seconds, somewhere around there, 46, 47 seconds. There's a minute 24 left. Maybe a minute 34, something 24, 34, or 44. One of those four is left in the race plus the last lap flag. And Deuce Deuce goes, by my calculations, there's 5 laps to go. Lewis and I look at each other like, what? Like, Deuce, just, yeah, it's so funny. But we're like, there's no 5 laps to go here. There is not 5 laps to go. I'm sorry. I don't know what math you are in. I don't know if San Luis Obispo Education Center is different or whatever. But and Justin Brayton goes, yeah, and it just keeps going. Yeah. Oh, great. Malcolm 7th. I'm not sure what happened to Malcolm, to be honest. I don't know. I think he kind of rode around, like, kind of started where he finished. I don't think there was...
No, he got punted in the first turn.
Yeah, but then he was around 8th or 9th from there? Or was he way back?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
he was way back.
He was in the mud.
Off the track. Like, yeah, he was off the track.
Hold on.
Where all the mud was just left to collect, he was in there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, he was 18th. He was 18th.
Yeah.
Okay, my bad. Yeah, 18th
I also just
7th.
Went back and looked. Sexton enters turn 1. There are only 4 bikes behind him. So this is actually Sexton doing the opposite. Like, I don't know how in the heck he did this. I mean, yes, Malcolm and 2 other guys, I think, got punted. But that's what, 18th, 17th, he enters turn 1, and then he's like, I think, 8th, 7th?
It's basically what Webb did last year. You remember when Webb went
up? Was Webb start bad?
Last year, we broke it down with Clinton Fowler a few times.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So good job, Malcolm. Barsha fell at one point, just tipped over. I know that.
He said he had a big one.
Did he? Yeah?
Yeah, and it's on his Instagram. He said he had a big one. I didn't see it.
Oh, but, okay. Yeah.
That's what he said.
He didn't lose that. I know he lost some spots at one point in the race, for sure, and came from the back. But Benny was ninth, another top 10 for Benny Bloss. Beat a Benny. Benny did say that Barsha had his clutch in and revving the bike the whole time he's behind him. So
that checks out.
Yep, checks. That works out. Justin Hill, 10th. Didn't notice much of Justin Hill in the heat race. He got lucky in the heat race. What happened? He was 10th and then someone
Harlan
fell?
Harlan just ruined himself right in front of him.
Was that just Harlan? Yeah, okay, yeah. So,
yeah, he just
that's
grenaded
right.
himself.
Right, with two turns to go. Harlan, yeah, grenaded himself and Hill rode right on by for the for the last transfer spot. That's right. So Justin Hill got in that way. And then Harlan was all by himself qualifying in the LCQ and A-Rod's bike just – just
Good
cleans
Lord,
him out,
man.
Dude. It's unbelievable. Like if you're Grant Harlan, you're like, first off, my fault on the first one. Second one, not my fault. But either way, he's screwed. He's out of the main event.
Listen, I can't. I'm wrong a lot. Steve would tell you I'm wrong all the time.
Yes.
But I am wrong many, many times a day. But on the broadcast, I basically just said for Chisholm, don't do anything crazy. Just kind of let this thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just goes – it could not have gone – more perfectly for what I thought might happen, and he ends up winning the damn LCQ.
Mm-hmm.
Just unbelievable. Like, put it on my, you know, on my reel. Like, if I ever have to apply for a job, this is what I will use as my tape. It was amazing. Those LCQs are just insane, man. Like,
Well,
the amount of unforced errors that people make, it just make me shake my head.
Guess who had A-Rod in Pulp Mex Fantasy? Yeah, me.
Oh, I know you did.
Oh, my God. I saw A-Rod at the end of the night, and he was still in his gear working on his bike, like late, like an hour, 2 hours after the main event. He's in his gear swapping out brakes and forks, and I don't know what he was doing. But, yeah.
Full props, JT. JT's literally saying, I think for Chisholm, don't force it. Just wait for them to make mistakes. And as he's saying it, a guy would make a mistake, and Chisholm would just ride by. And then, yeah, the cherry on the Sunday was, I mean, I hate that we take this lightly. It's just such good entertainment. I mean, it absolutely sucks for A-Rod, but it's just what these LCQs are designed to deliver. It practically never fails. Every time you think, nah, they're going to be good, man.
Nope.
They're going to be good. Something happens.
Bomb goes off. Yeah, no, exactly.
And freaking Harlan just, oh, my God.
Oldenburg went down pretty hard in the main, but got up and got 11th. So I was at the end of the night, I wasn't really pacing him, but I saw him go down, and then he got up and got 11th. He was really good in the heat as well. Oldenburg
yeah,
was.
What happened,
so
I was gonna ask you, what happened at the end of the heat? Like, he was fading fast. Like, I don't know what was going on. Is something with the bike or him?
Yeah, you know what? I think he did have a bike issue. Yeah,
he gave up a lot of spots like really fast, like the lap to go.
Yeah, I think he did have a bike issue. I think. Maybe Benny did. One of the beta guys had a bike issue.
It was Olden because he literally like gave up a spot going into the final turn. I'm like, what is he doing?
Yeah, yeah. Nichols got 12th and 13th. That both good rides by those guys. So I don't know about Suzuki's and Seattle and all that. That's Chiz's season best, by the way. Talking about Chiz, he said he raced that LCQ with bent bars, like bent bar mounts.
Yeah,
didn't have time.
He talked about that a little bit in his interview, that the bike was still really beat up.
Chiz talked a lot in the interview. Okay.
Amazing, right?
He caused the heat race crash with Mookie and all that, and then they only had time to replace the throttle cable, and then the bar mounts were bent. But typical Chiz. Good job for Colt Nichols and him though. That's good job for those guys to get just outside the top 10. McElrath 14th. Didn't notice a whole lot of Shane McElrath out there, to be honest. Did really well in Birmingham, I believe, and not sure about his race in Seattle. And Christian Craig was pissed about his race. He was embarrassed. He used the word embarrassed. He got 15th. So
he was battling to the death with like Freddie and a few guys on the last lap. Mm-hmm. Like, they were just going at it. I'm like, oh my gosh, these guys being business.
Yeah.
There's three of them.
Yeah.
Freddie, Craig, and somebody. And I was like, they were getting after it.
Yeah, not stoked on his finish, for sure. Freddie, 16th, back in the main event for Freddie. Of course, he still went from first to fourth in the LCQ. And, got a little scary there, but Freddie got her back in the main event. And then I talked to Derek Rankin, his team manager, afterwards. And I said, hey, Freddie was good tonight. And he goes, that's all I want Freddie to do. What he did tonight, I told him, was exactly what I want him to do. Mediocre start, ride around, finish the race. That's the goals over there. That's the goals. Just
he had to be a little frustrated with the heat race, though, no?
Yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah. I mean, he kind of had it, and then there just wasn't a lot of fight there.
No.
Like, he made a mistake. Starling got him, and he's just like, okay, yeah. Well,
yeah.
See you, Justin.
And Starling just, like, pushed him, like, hey, dude, just go out here. That's it.
Yeah, I was like, Freddie, do you know you're that's for the final spot?
Yeah. No. Mitchell Harrison stalled at some point or crashed. I saw him kicking his bike or starting his bike, I should say, out there at some point. Jerry back in the main event, of course. Jerry's solid this year. Moran's Lane. Tristan Lane really benefited from that LCQ.
Sure did.
Starling and Schlosser, or Schlosser too as well. Yeah, those guys were done. Turn out the lights. They were over. So just three rounds remain in my LCQ challenge battle. So, yeah. I was talking to one of the guys, who was it? It was Harlan. And he's like, yeah, looks like I got some more points for your race, Steve. Because some of those guys, with the factory guys going out, like these dudes are dropping in the points. Like the Starlings and Harlans and Robin and all that, like they're dropping. And they want to make that race in Denver on Friday, top 17 get in. So, yeah, there's a little bit of that jockeying going on too. So, yeah, that's the top. By the way, if you want to enter to win a 2025 Yamaha YZ450, pulpmex.com, do that and check it out. All the money goes to these privateers Friday. JT, you're going to help out announce again, I hope.
Yep, I'll be there. I'm going to be a little tight running around with meetings, but I will make it happen.
You're good. I'm
back this year. I'm in,
you are?
I'm in Denver this year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Okay, awesome.
Yep, Race Day Live. Yep.
Oh, you're doing Race Day Live. What?
Race Day Live and Lurch, the Lurch.
Yeah, the Lurch Rule. Got it.
I'll be manning the Lurch first. So, yeah, same as JT. I'm not sure what the heck the meeting schedule is, but I will do everything I can to contribute.
The Feld bosses will make sure that you guys are free for this. This is the event of the year, Friday. So.
Oh, yeah. The team manager.
At the top of Bondo's list of priorities.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, anything else about 450s from Seattle?
What about the team manager challenge as part of your event? No?
I don't know if that's going to happen, man. I don't know. Like, Lars is completely out, which is sad.
Let me fill you in. It's definitely not happening.
Marty is...
Oh, but Marty so wants it.
Marty's aggressively going after this, yes.
There's no way.
That's great.
In a million years is this happening.
One last ride, dude. One last ride for Marty. Let's do it. Wash him. Watch him wash the front out
again.
You've
always been there for him.
I have been. Yep. No, I agree.
If you have, didn't Josh Hill win last year?
Yeah.
If you could say that Josh Hill and Marty were two winners of your events,
mm-hmm.
Just always been there for them.
Yeah, we would.
And then if Anderson won the 450 main that night,
that would be fantastic. Yeah, maybe get J Law in there. He's got a bike now, so maybe we can get J Law in there. Congrats everybody on funding the GoFundMe for J Law. Congrats everyone. Yeah.
Before we get away from 450s, I just want to say, like, this race, to me, I really felt like it was one of those where somebody had to lose. You know what I mean? Like, it was – there are a few races over time where you're like, this sucks that somebody has to lose this because they both probably deserve to win. You know, like, I really felt that way leaving. Where it's like, it was a bummer that somebody had to lose that race because they were both phenomenal. So,
yeah, it was great. No, it was really – like, let me say at the top, it's been good racing, man. You want to talk some silly season stuff or 250s or live show or Moser?
It's too silly season. People will be interested in this.
Yeah, there's definitely some silly season stuff going on. Chase Sexton is the one everybody's kind of waiting on a little bit to see what happens. Obviously, he can stay at KTM. He can go to Kawasaki. He can maybe go to Yamaha, although I don't hear much Blue Crew Sexton talk, but I would think they're talking to everybody. And I even think... Dustin Pipes has reached out. I don't know if that's not going to happen, I would think, but I think there's also a part where he could do that. But I would put the odds from nothing is done and everything else, but, I mean, what would you put the odds on, Cowie or KTM for Chase?
Yeah, I think it's going to be those two. Yamaha's got other issues with too many guys. I don't think they can add another. Because another piece of this puzzle is we believe Eli Tomac does want to continue racing. But at some point, Deegan's deal is going to be up, and obviously that's going to be a Brinks truck full of money. And Cooper Webb is owed some money. So that's a big ask for Yamaha. So I don't think there's Chase Sexton money on top of all that. But the Cowie KTM thing, it was honestly good to hear you interview Ian Harrison. You know, I think everybody's been worried about KTM's financial situation. It was good to hear him say, you know, we want him back, and we're doing everything we can
they're not waving the white flag and saying we don't have the money to afford a Chase Sexton-like guy. Like, that's good to hear. But, yeah, the Cowie rumors are strong, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it seems like, yeah, 50-50. I think you flip a coin to me, you know, on what he wants to do. I mean, much probably depends on if he wins this thing or not. You know, maybe it'll be decided.
I'm just impressed. I feel like Cowie went after Prado pretty aggressively. I did not know if they would have enough for two. I mean, obviously, Chase Sexton is going to get a lot of money. So, especially if you're trying to pry him away from KTM, who, you know, wants to keep him. So, that's pretty aggressive from Cowie. I don't think Prado's cheap. And then to add Sexton in a bidding war, that's impressive that Cowie's going for it, like, really going for it.
Yeah.
Do you think that they have been able to kind of pull funds for a couple of years? Because it doesn't feel like they've gone hard like this for a while.
Yeah, that would make sense. But what I kind of heard, I'm not 100% sure this is true. I mean, everything you hear on these things, we never know for sure, right? I think, you know, management can go and try to make it a priority and be like, hey, we didn't need anything special the last couple of years, but this is an opportunity to get this guy, and we need you to open up the war chest this year. I think it's almost more like that. Steve, you probably dealt with it at Yamaha. It's that weirdo corporate thing where when you don't spend the money one year, they don't reward you with those savings the next year. It just never works that way.
No, I wonder how much is Monster too. You know, Monster stepping up a little bit, maybe.
That would be a factor.
I also wonder a little bit, like, if Prado say comes in and he's like. And this is maybe unrealistic, but not according to one Cowie guy I talked before Anaheim won. But if Prado comes in and is like 4-5-6, 450 Supercross, does any of this going after Chase a little bit, because like, ooh, Jorge's out for all the Supercross three rounds in, and he wasn't that great. It didn't work as good as we thought. His adaption wasn't as easy as we thought. Now, I think all three of us on the phone or in the same place where we're like, really, guys? I mean, that's kind of what we thought. But I did, man, they had some high hopes. Maybe it was just
talking
to the media.
Those were misplaced. Those were misplaced, though.
Yeah. I mean,
go ahead.
There was a Cowie guy that was like, yeah, man, that's our guy, and he's going to be good. Just wait. He will be, you know, a top Supercross racer. And I'm like, okay.
That doesn't mean he can't be.
Yeah.
I just think when is the question.
Well.
Like if that was a 25 thing, I would have cocked my head sideways like a confused dog.
No, but, like, I don't think it was for 25, but let's say he's 4-5-6 this year. You know, and he's like, he's coming
maybe
around.
Maybe a few times, not consistently.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. Maybe right now, but I don't think he was ready to go beat, like, AP consistently right now.
Yeah, I just wonder if they pivoted.
But it's a guy that never rode Supercross, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
no,
that is such a underrated part of this story where – we think about guys coming in, but they, you know, like even Kenny, raced German Supercross a lot. Like he was racing when he was young and to have experience. Like Prado didn't have any of that.
Because now 2026 is a learning year for Supercross.
Yep.
For Jorge Prado, you know. I just wonder. I don't know. I have no idea. Nobody will know. But I wonder if their plans pivoted a little bit when Jorge's year went down the toilet in Supercross. So.
I know for sure they didn't have any expectations on results this year, but I think the point you're trying to make, Steve, is they also expected that he could learn all year.
Yeah, yeah.
And now that didn't happen, now it's like, ooh, we were pretty sure that this would probably work out down the road, and now maybe we're a tiny bit less sure because this is a really valuable year that he missed.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, because the guy I talked to at Cowie wasn't saying it was 2025, but like, yeah, he's going to be, but, you know, again, next year's a learning year now again. So I do wonder. And then so Tomac's pulling a Brett Favre where he's telling us he's done, but he's not. Because he was supposed to be done last year, and then he said, no, he's coming back. And then he said, this will be my – I think the press release said final year. I'm not sure exactly. And now he wants to keep racing, which is awesome. I mean, he was super fast before he got injured. But Weege, from the kind of stuff you're hearing, it may not be at Yamaha.
Well, only because I think Eli Tomac – and if you're like Tomac, I think you could be like, look, I proved myself. I know it was only five races and one podium, but I beat Jet Lawrence straight up. So I don't think he wants to – he's not like some discount on the back burner third wheel guy. Like, I think he just wants to be treated the same way he always has been, which is you pay me a lot of money because I'm as good or better than any other rider in the sport. I think that's the level that he could make a case that he should still. I mean, I would just keep showing video of passing Jet at the outside of the sand over and over. Just text it to everybody, email it to everybody, and be like, this is me, everybody. I'm not, you know, one last ride, just gate filler, here for the fans to wave. I can win races. But the problem is, I mean, we were already wondering how they do it with Webb and Tomac together. I mean, you know that Deegan's going to need to be paid a lot of money.
Would Deegan move up outdoors next year? Do you think that would be a plan?
Yes, I don't know either way.
Talked about that already. Yeah.
26.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 26.
Okay. Brian told me that's what he wants
to
do.
So somebody over there in blue told me that they feel like they have a lot of leverage on Eli because it's the only bike left with a cable clutch. That's the leverage they have. And I'm like, wow. He would want a cable clutch so bad that they think that they may get a deal. I don't know. That seems amazing, but
like $1 million discount, but you get a cable clutch in the deal.
I'm like, really? Like, the hatred of a hydraulic is that bad? And they're like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I'm like, okay.
I mean, there's definitely been a dynamic in our sport where this bike, everybody wants to be on a certain bike. So you kind of like Mitch's team in 2006, you know,
Mitch's team about 20 years. Yeah.
Yeah. But the cable clutch specifically might be the most specific edge we've ever heard for a leverage.
Well, and then I had somebody at Triumph tell me like, hey, we're not ready for, they specifically mentioned Eli. We're not ready for Eli on our 450. We got to make sure we're ready for a guy like that. So let's put Jordan up and, you know, Jordan Smith outdoors maybe and really get this 450 dialed in. So, but they have a hydraulic clutch. So
it's just a tough situation because no one can say that Webb and Deegan don't deserve a ton of money. They've done well. They've done great. They've done everything they could be asked to do results-wise. And Eli can state a case that he shouldn't be at a discount either. He beat Jed Lawrence straight up in one race.
In the end, Weege, he got one podium before he got hurt. And he's going to be a year older.
Yes.
And they got Deegan. So, like, yeah, if you're Jim Roach at Yamaha or, you know, the higher-ups from there, I mean, I can understand their side. Like, dude, we just can't.
Yeah, it's really difficult, in my opinion, for an OEM to invest in an older rider. They're always thinking the future, right? If they're going to invest a lot of money, they want that to pay out over the next 5 years. Even if it's a two-year deal, they're investing for this guy and his brand to win over the long term. You don't really like paying for past performance, and it doesn't mean Eli can't do well short term, but there is a dynamic that I've been in that dynamic where you're like, yeah, you're getting old. Like nobody wants to invest in that.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that is a part of this. No one is saying anywhere that Eli's not awesome. It's just like, hey, yeah, we're going to dump $5 million into this guy. We have to think about what's coming next. You know, like there is some of that somewhere.
Yeah. And I think like, I know from a really, really, really good source, Webb had a low base last year and a high base salary this year because they didn't think Tomac would be around.
Yep.
So, like, and at some point, it's a Brett Favre thing. Like, hey, man, we got a plan. We got to make future plans. We got to figure this out. We got this 38 kid coming, you know, all of this. So,
yep.
I don't know.
But, could you imagine if they said, okay, you know what? We don't have a choice. We're going to have to keep Tomac. Deegan leaves, you know, let's say Sexton stays at KTM and then Cowie goes out and gets Deegan and Deegan goes on a run and he battles Jet for the next 10 years for titles.
Yeah.
Someone at Yamaha is getting fired.
Yeah. And I don't think there's any way that happens. Right. I agree.
Yeah. I'm just saying like, that's what they have to look at, you know, like it's,
but then you sign Eli, you got Deegan coming outdoors. You want to keep Cooper Webb. You lose Justin Cooper who goes on to not be elite guy, but he starts figuring it out and he's younger and he starts getting podiums and wins. And you're like, we had Justin Cooper. Oops.
But do you think who is going to step up and pay Jay Cooper a lot right now, because I don't think he gets paid much.
Yeah, I don't know. KTM, if they lose Chase, yeah. Actually, Ian did make a funny point in my interview. You probably heard this, where he was like, there's not a lot of, no offense, but there's not a lot of ace guys or something, he said, left.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know. yeah, so interesting. And you know, I don't see Eli. Like, if you're Eli and John, are you going to Ducati? Like, okay, so let's say you get over the cable clutch thing and you just say, okay, we're going to ride a hydraulic. Are you going to Ducati with the way Eli rides and the stresses he puts on a motorcycle and the particulars that he needs? Do you want to jump on a Ducati? I don't think you do. I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, that's awfully risky in the very first year ever.
Yep. Especially like, hey,
are we even sure that Ducati's doing Supercross next year?
Yeah, I thought they were.
Like, sure?
Now you're making me think I'm not sure.
I feel like they said it. I mean, I think at Anaheim 1 they said that, but now I keep hearing things like, oh, it's not for certain. I'm just saying, like, that's a risky – if you're Eli Tomac's goal, which, like I said, I don't think he's out there to wave to the fans. I think he still wants to win titles. That's a big ask.
I wouldn't want to do that.
Right?
If I'm Eli, I wouldn't want to go in my final run here and try to go into it and developing a bike. No.
No.
I would not want to.
Yeah.
Especially the way he rides. Like, he's a lot.
Well, you just have to figure you're going to have some sort of difficulties. You might have a bike failure here and there. You're certainly going to be battling settings because it's never been raced in Supercross. That's none of that equals winning the first year. You know, like, that to me doesn't seem like a good setup at all.
Nope. And one thing about the Sexton-Akowie thing that makes sense too is that I do know Anderson's talking to some people.
Yeah.
So there is that. Anderson is out there. So
there are suitors for Anderson.
Yeah.
Right.
What's crazy is if Sexton were to leave, Tomac to KTM would make sense, except Cable Clutch,
dude. Ride height, and Cable Clutch. So if someone wants to put a bike together, like a winner's take all bike with a Cable Clutch,
and a high rear end,
you could get Tomac. You could get him. All right. Anything else for the silly season stuff? Nope. All right. Again,
that's all for now. That's how it works, right? The big dominoes fall first.
Yep, for sure. Thank you to the folks at motorsport.com. Make your next ride your best ride. Their sweepstakes are on now. They're giving away a Stark Varg for a grand prize, but they're also giving away really cool prizes each and every week. Update your riding gear. Update your bike for the season, parts and maintenance and things like that. Free shipping on over $79. First returns free on apparel in case something doesn't fit. Who knew that, JT? First returns free on apparel from the folks at motorsport.com. Thank you to them. Renthal and Maxis, what? What's that?
I said I love it.
Renthal and Maxis on board as well with us on the Fly Racing RacerX podcast. Fly Racing, the official gear of Cooper Webb, who is leading the points right now. And would he be leading the points if he didn't sign with Fly this year? Nobody knows, but it certainly couldn't have hurt signing with Fly and leading the points. Use the code PULPMX when you check out at flyracing.com. And the Kinetic Mesh is out. I love the Kinetic Mesh. Wygant, I don't know what your riding plans are, but I also know you're a fan of the Kinetic Mesh. It's got BOA on it now. So, I don't know, Wygant. What's your riding?
I'll ride again someday in my life, yes.
Okay. Well, I know you like the Kinetic Mesh.
Yeah, that would be the gear I'd be wearing if I ever ride again, yes.
Because your kid's not going to ride, you don't think you're going to ride?
It's really hard to have hobbies that your family doesn't do, so it's getting tougher and tougher.
Come on, man.
As I say, you get the best advice on parenting from people who aren't parents, so yes.
Well, dude, don't you need some alone time for your hobbies? Do you got to drag the Rugrats around every single time?
I think I just had plenty of alone time. It was called Thursday night through Sunday morning.
That's called a job. I don't know, man. I guess I'd make a shitty parent because I'd tell the little gremlin he's got to stay home and I'm going riding. No?
Oh, I'd love to take him with me, but usually I'm taking him somewhere where he has to go.
Yeah, man. It's not your time. It's my time.
Again, best parenting advice for people who aren't parents.
On X Maps.
Yeah, if I were to ride,
And maybe it'd be better if instead of loading up and going to a track, maybe I could find like a trail somewhere. Maybe I could find like a dirt road or some off-road adventure, dual sport type stuff, or mountain biking. Onyx Maps would be great for that. OnyxMaps.com, Onyx Off-Road in the App Store. You can download the maps, so they're on your phone. Even if you don't have cell service in the backcountry, you can leave notes. Other people leave notes for you. Check it out. And we'll give you a discount. Just type in RacerX, all one word, all lowercase, if you want to pay for it. But there's a free trial, so you can try it first.
I hope you ride again, Weege. I hope you ride again.
Yeah, I'd like to, but it ended in tears, literally, the last time we went riding, which was last summer at club. We were both laid out, and I think both crying. Yeah. And Brayton's child also laid out on the track crying. Only one man was not crying or crashed, and that was the great Justin Brayton.
Okay. By the way, looking at the lap chart, Colt Nichols came from 22nd up to that ride, up to 12th. So good job, Colt Nichols. We've been wondering, you know, during the year we've said a few things about, like, it's not working. But he rode well in Seattle, so good job, Colt Nichols. All right, 250s, Cole Davies, seventh career race, first career win. And I talked to him after the race, and he said literally he was 11th in qualifying, and he said he made bike changes every single time. I said, what kind of bike change? He said, I don't know. I just told them what the bike was doing, and they made changes, which sounds like a 17-year-old kid. But, man, what a race. Fantastic.
11th in qualifying?
11th in qualifying.
I got to look at this. I can't pick 10 guys who would be faster than him. How is that even possible?
Well, now you got me checking.
That seems insane.
He's 11th, right behind Gavin Towers, Hunter Yoder.
Gavin Towers had him covered.
Yep. Well, Gavin Towers and his whoops. I mean, we all know the whoops.
That's true. Actually, wait, I take this back. Gavin Towers and Davies, weren't they battling, like, tooth and nail in futures just, like, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I don't know. I do know Towers had some huge ones in futures. Huge crashes. I do remember that.
Yeah, he did. I think he was battling Davies before those huge ones would happen, I think.
Somebody told me, I didn't know this, but someone told me Cole Davies was racing futures with Josh Coppins and Ben Townley's help on a Yamaha.
Yeah, he's like 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that, but I just remember him on a gas with Daniel.
It wasn't very memorable.
Okay. Anyways, good job, Cole Davies. That was awesome. Great race. 7 second lead. The little bit I watched him, he looked totally in control. He looked great. We thought a win was coming this year. You know, he's definitely one of the most improved riders at Anaheim 1. And here he is, the Kiwi kid. Good job.
It was due. It was like you knew it was going to happen one of these. And honestly, I think everybody not only knew he was going to win one, but they probably figured he was going to win one like this. There was just going to be a night where he's just like, yep, it's just his time, man. I mean, there wasn't even a challenge. He's unreal. It's really one of the stories of the year, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And, like, I don't know. Obviously, he's better indoors than out, but he was pretty good at the combine. And if he's improved this much indoors, what's his outdoors going to be? Like, is this kid a top five outdoor guy?
It just remains to be seen because, yes, I'm thinking, like, when I saw him at Loretta's and it was nothing special, but I don't know.
Well,
maybe he's good.
The one day I was at Loretta's, I was there for a day, and I think he smoked the one moto that I watched. But then he didn't win that class, I believe.
Yeah, he didn't win the class. But, you know, it was similar. It was a lot muddier the year before. But, you know, Juju was okay, but nothing great. Mm-hmm. But I think for both, we got to see if this is just
– Yeah.
They're obviously both very, very good in Supercross. It'll be interesting to see if it's just Supercross or if they end up being really good at both. Well, I feel like jury's out, I guess is what I could say.
Yeah. No, good job, Cole Davies. That's cool. You know, we were kind of wondering, JT, obviously this has been all year long for Davies, but kind of talking about LeBlanc and Fry and sort of the star guys not hitting for a while and outside of Deegs not really working well. This kid's legit, so he's the next one for those guys.
Yeah, this I was as skeptical as anyone you'll find based on kind of what I saw in SMX Next before, and when it was called Futures before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was winning, but it wasn't. I would watch Futures or Next, and then I would watch the 250 class, and I'm like, those don't look the same to me. But his progression is not normal. That is, I don't know how he did it. I don't know if it was just maturity matching up with, you know, like everybody progresses at their own rate. I get that. But this was a big jump in a short amount of time.
Yeah, it was great. He sounds like he's locked up there for a long time. And Yamaha, you know, he's going to be the next one for them. So good job on that. He rode great. Marchbanks second. That's his season best. And Garrett said he kind of sat down with Brock Tickle and Mitch and a few other Alex Martin and made some changes. And I was kind of pressing him on like training or bike stuff. And he really said it was mental, really mental changes. So whatever is working, good job for Garrett. He was good. I always think he's good in these conditions, but he kind of sloughed that off a little bit to me.
Really?
After the race.
Oh, I would have agreed with you on that.
Yeah. Yeah. He said he's good. You know, he can ride any conditions. And I'm like, yeah,
well,
no, I get it.
I mean,
I'm not saying
course,
you can't, but
people are better at certain things than others.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So Marchbanks rode really good. And that's sort of gives you a highlight of it, because his return to PC outside of his very first race at Unadilla, you know, has been just right? Would you guys agree?
Yep. Like San Diego heat race was really good. I don't know if you remember that. He just came out, dominated the heat. I'm like, oh, look at that guy. And then, yeah, it's just been not the same
right
since then.
And then Deeg's third. If in case you're wondering, there was any sort of like remorse about the arrest. There was merch sold. There was gear made. We're leaning into this. We went from, you know, well, I guess it wasn't really that big of a surprise, but in case you were wondering.
Didn't Marchbanks was on the podium, maybe Arlington Triple Crown, one of the races, somewhere. I talked to him on the podium and he was talking about how jacked up his shoulder was.
Yep. Yeah,
so there was that in there too.
Yeah.
He rode well.
Yeah, there's been a shoulder issue. I should mention that. He was hurt. He missed two rounds and then kind of hobbled for a couple of rounds too. So, Deegs versus Juju or Joe versus Deegs, which one was more entertaining for you? For me, it was Joe.
No, come on,
dude.
More entertaining?
Just
no.
More. I'm not counting. I'm not talking about after the race. Just.
That's all part of it.
Joe Shimoda just dive bombing Deegs out of nowhere twice. You're like, did we know there was Shimoda Deeg at beef? I mean, Joe.
I don't even know if there is. I think Joe is just like, yeah, screw this guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Deegs is like F Joe. I've never seen or heard that, and he doesn't usually hold back on those things.
No. I just was so out of character for Joe. I mean, good job, whatever. It's just hard racing. It wasn't anything like greasy, but. You just don't see that from Joe Shimoda. You don't see that fire lit like that. But
wasn't he aggressive with some people in the heat race also? I don't remember. I just remember vaguely. I want to say he was getting aggressive in the heat too. I'd have to go back and watch it.
He rides the same all the time, but maybe not. Maybe not this one. And then Lewis talked to Julian after the race. And, you know, they're kids. He said Deegs is DMing him and, you know, this and that. And, like, whatever. I don't know. These guys are getting into it. But, I mean, Julian, Deegs definitely, like, that was aggressive, but it was a little bit like a little bit of FU. But I don't know. Yeah, Julian, you got caught from way back and you looked a little tired. He's been riding with a shoulder injury or whatever. Like, yeah, I don't know. Should Julian have freaked out about that, Weege?
No, I don't think that warranted that.
No.
I mean, I just feel like, first of all, you just have to know it's they're 1 and 2 in points, and it was for the last spot on the podium. I the words I literally screamed were "of course" on the broadcast. It's like, of course Deegan's going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect Bomer to love it, but yeah, to get that mad, and then they're in each other's face. I believe they were both fined. Our Aaron Hansel at RacerX interviewed him also, and Bomer said, "Yeah, we're both fined for unsportsmanlike." You know, they're both hitting helmets.
Yeah,
that'll usually get you fined, but. What we also knew was this was already there. I kind of heard throughout the day Deegan wasn't pumped about him posting Julian posting the mugshot on his Instagram story. So we kind of knew that this was already brewing. And then I'm like, I cannot believe it's going to come down to they're actually battling each other. Because I'm like, they're not going to see each other on the track, and it's going to be a nothing. But then it actually happened, and I'm like, well, it's going to happen now.
Yeah.
And it did. It couldn't have been scripted any better of like, they will eventually run into each other on the track.
It's just Deegs making, because he made a comment after qualifying too, right? It's just Deegs making up.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
he
said I can't ride ruts. He made a comment about ruts and then said something about, you know, the guy posted my photo up or something.
But like, also, I will say that if you are
Juju and you post that, you know you're going to hear about it. Like, if you post someone else's mugshot on your story, you're instigating, you know, some sort of response from that, in my opinion.
Kids. These silly kids.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying anybody's right or wrong. Well, I'm not saying Bo Marison's the wrong for doing that. I'm just saying, you know who you're dealing with. You know Deegan. You know his tendencies. I know they don't like each other. If you post that, you know you're going to hear about it on or off the track. Like, full stop, you know? That's going to – and I would do the same. If somebody posted my bug shot, you're going to hear about it. I'm either going to clean you out or say something to you like, it is – you're taking a shot. Like, he could have just stayed out of it, you know? Like,
okay, fair. But Deeks has no problem selling merch with his mugshot.
Totally. I'm just saying that Bomer knows what he's doing when he does that.
Yeah.
Like, there is no, like – you know, like, I know he did, it's public record, which is fact. Totally true. But you also know what you're doing. You are asking to stir up stuff if you do that, which, you know, it's okay. No one says it's wrong. But you can't be like, whoa, you know. Like, I just think there's some of that, too.
I know this is going to shock you guys. This is going to shock you. It's cringy, the merch sell. It's cringy to me. I know. Imagine that. The 50-year-old man is.
I am shocked.
Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, it falls in line with the way they want to do things and the way they want to market. But it's cringy. And that's cool. I guess I'm just old. But awesome, dude. You're selling a shirt with your mugshot from being arrested. But we did have a guy at the live show who had one on order. $45 bucks plus shipping. $45 bucks plus shipping.
I heard he's already sold over 3,000 as of Friday.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, it's also an bigger example. We don't have time on this podcast of getting into society today, you know, and all that. But, like, it's nuts to me. And that's where my age is showing. But I'm just like, oh, my God, you're selling it. You're making a bunch of money off this. It's actually, like, you got arrested. It's not that cool. But, hey, cool. I guess it is. I don't know.
I have one.
Crazy.
And I'm not surprised that you're taking this at all. I
know.
I always shudder over the society today, and this is the way it is thing, that always makes me laugh, because every generation ever has had a teenage or 20-year-old bad boy, and people, or a lot of people, or some people, think it's cool. This is not 2025 for the first time ever. I mean, Bob Hanna didn't get arrested, but Bob Hanna did a lot of crazy stuff. People love that he wrecked rental cars and said stuff about chicks and trash talked people and ran into people and was brash and outspoken and cocky. It wasn't like he didn't get arrested. I'm not comparing it to that, but I'm saying, like, bad boy has always sold. Always. It's not just a generational thing.
Yeah, but when sports athletes get arrested, it's a bad thing, but not in today's world. It's not a bad thing to get arrested, which is insane.
He didn't rob a bank.
I know, but you know what I mean? But just,
like, you know how many rental cars I know of all guys that we know are great people that have intentionally destroyed doing
sure.
this type of stuff?
Yeah, but they didn't get arrested. So, I don't know.
Okay, bad timing.
Okay, I guess. Just all those.
I mean, there's a whole, think about the movie franchise Fast and the Furious. The whole movie's about this. Street racing, doing stunts, like. It's just society now. You know, like, I understand we're old, and getting arrested is never a good thing. But, you know, like, you can say that you shouldn't be promoting it via merchandise. Okay. I can go along with that. I just
– do you,
in the realm of wrongdoing, this, to me, doesn't rank that high.
But I agree. But do you know how many athletes – have been arrested for drunk driving, reckless driving, or NBA?
This is not that.
No,
drunk driving.
No,
I'm
just saying.
Different thing than that.
Just how many athletes have been arrested, and then they literally have to just do like a mea culpa in front of their locker and really show remorse, and they look like they're remorseful, and everyone's remorseful, and everyone says, like, oh, it's a bad thing that I got arrested, and like I have a loaded gun in my luggage that I forgot about, and I got arrested. You know what I mean? Like, just, and that's a simple mistake that a lot of athletes have made, and. They're still in front of the media being like, it was really my bad. I got to take responsibility for this. I'll be better. You know what I mean? Like, there's a whole mea culpa about getting arrested for anything in athletics over the years, over the decades. And then in our sport, he's arrested and he's selling merch, showing no remorse and selling merch. Like, it's a little bizarre. I don't remember Todd Marinovich selling merch. I don't remember who the hell's the NBA guy? Jamont Murray, the guy from the Grizzlies, who got arrested for the gun in the luggage. Like, I don't recall him selling merch for. It's just a little bizarre. And I follow other sports, and generally, when athletes get arrested, they're a little remorseful. Arrested for anything, they're a little remorseful, and they don't sell merch. Again, just coming across guys as an old guy, I get it, but I'm just used to that. I'm used to that. So, and Weege, you would know more. You follow mainstream sports more. Like, I think that point is very valid, what I'm making.
Yeah, no, I can't argue that one that much. I mean, if we're saying arrest is arrest, and that's certainly fair to say that, then yes, I don't remember anyone leaning in on it and actually promoting it until now. I think the Deegan side would be, I mean, I think he was doing donuts in a parking lot. Like, there really wasn't any danger that it was posing to other people. But if you want to say arrest is arrest, and that's certainly fair to say that. And again, I'm not comparing any other previous bad boys of this sport to getting arrested. I mean, well, some did get arrested, and then they did not lean in on that. Well, there were free J-Law shirts, but I don't know. Was that more of a against the AMA? I don't think that was an arrest.
Yeah, it was more like AMA. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it does not surprise me, whether you like that they leaned in on it or not, it does not surprise me that there are a lot of fans that like it, and that's not a 2025 thing. That's a forever
And Thor too, right? Thor leaned into it too. They made this gear, so they were all on board.
That actually is a little wacky to me that they would. I almost feel like a company might be like, we got a lot of different eyeballs and people involved. Like, it's like one thing when it's your own personal image, but it's like a company doing it. Well, it is a little more odd to me.
Do you think Jim Roach is? I would guarantee you, if you put Jim Roach in a, you know, had a couple beers with Jim Roach, you think he'd be like, yeah, it's cool? No, you know, but
I mean, they didn't stop it. But and Jim Roach is from Yamaha, they didn't stop it. Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't think it's a sign of today's society that fans thought the badass part was awesome, because to me, that's gone on forever, and it does make me laugh when people can say things like, the problem with today's riders is they're too soft. And you know, I liked it when guys used to ram into each other and hit, and then that happens in a race, and they're like, these kids now, you know, they ram into each other, and I hate it. And it's just like, woof, woof.
Yeah. No, I don't get any of that either.
Badass has always sold.
I draw the line for myself, personally, and again, I understand people take the other side. That's cool. I just draw the line, you got arrested. You went to jail. Like, the cop didn't be like, hey, stop doing donuts, or, hey, kid, you know, you got arrested.
No.
That's
right. We don't have a test for that because.
Yeah.
Yep, go ahead.
I just want to add in the account of the police officer made mention of how respectful Hayden was through the process. So it's not like he's flipping birds and telling the cops to pound sand and, you know, whatever,
All right, well, let's move on. I thought Julian definitely overreacted on that, like you said, Weege, for all the reasons. The last spot on the podium, points lead, all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, obviously there's beef and whatever. But Julian should have been like,
and there were passes, like, it wasn't the only. There were multiple passes. Yeah. I mean, I think Shimoda did it to Deegan maybe even twice, at least once in that same turn. Yeah. It was kind of like
same idea.
To me, it's a little bit more egregious when it's like, hey man, you knew that wasn't going to work. That turn, there's no room for a pass. And it was like guys were passing each other in there all night. I was like, you saw it coming a mile away.
And, like, listen, Julian, like, again, Deeks came from way back.
He was tired also.
Yeah, absolutely. Tired. Oh, 100% he was, yeah. So, by the way, but I did want to point out, Deeks made two mistakes.
Small height.
Just two more Supercross mistakes. Fastest qualifier.
We get it. Like, last 15 minutes have been about –
well, no,
your
that's
distaste for Hayden. We got it.
Pointing that out. Yeah,
we know.
Okay.
We are very aware.
He should have smoked the field. He should have smoked the field. He was riding that well, and he made mistakes. Bomer fourth, Joe fifth. They lapped sixth. They lapped Mosman in sixth. That's pretty gnarly to go that up, to go that high on a race. So that's how fast those guys were going. I didn't notice Mosman or Enzo Lopes much, sixth and seventh. Good job, but I didn't notice them much. You guys got anything?
No, I did not.
Shock was up there. Cody Shock won a heat again. That's three now for Cody Shock. Good job. And then, yeah, absolutely went Indonesia in the main. He's trying to avoid a lapper, picked the wrong rut, and yeah, wasn't good. But then I thought he was hurt. I thought he was done. And then I look away and I look up, and there he's tripling again. So I'm like, good job, Cody Shock, getting up.
So we do this around the berm thing before the main event, mm-hmm. sometimes before the heats, and we didn't do one for Cody Shock, and I was like, this, because he won the heat. I'm like, yeah. This may bite us right here. I almost said something to our production team, like, maybe we got to find a way to get Shock in here. And then he crashed for us, so it didn't make us look terrible.
Right.
So thank you, Cody Shock, for not exposing us there.
Yeah. Oh, man, he's like, we were in a group text this week. Someone said, who's the number one club rider, Cody Shock or Max Voland? And I'm like, at this point, it's Cody Shock, like 100%. Like, Kellen Brower may get mad, but like, Cody's way awesome. So Cole Thompson, ninth. Gavin Towers, 10th. Yeah, Gavin rode pretty well. He was good all day, qualified well. Was up there in the heat for a little bit. So, yeah, I think he was.
Did I put something on Towers? Did Phil post or tweet something about Towers?
Yeah, Phil tweeted and said nobody has any idea how good Gavin Towers is in the whoops.
Now, I have a feeling that Gavin Towers might be one of the best in the whoops in the coming years. Something like that.
Yeah. And I made fun of Phil for that tweet, and then Phil just said, you will know, or time will tell, or I don't know. I don't know what he said.
It was surprising to me also.
Yes, just out of nowhere.
I was
right.
Surprised at this.
So, who knew that Phil could be so positive? Weech, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you make him out to be a jerk, and he actually has a heart of gold, but that's not how you portray him.
Don't get me
started. You abuse Phil.
Yeah, exactly. Abuse him. Lux Turner, 11th. Jordan Smith, oh my God.
Huh.
No visor. His body bag went off.
The body bag went off?
I think it did. Now, Jeff from Alpine Star said it did not, but I intend to watch the race and take some screenshots. But he looked like the hunchback for a couple of times, and I think it was off. I think it went off. JT, did you notice it at all?
No, I did not. I did not notice that.
I think the back went off.
He also took out our RoboCam,
yep.
A camera that's mounted on the inside of the turn. Did you know this, Steve?
Yeah, I saw the smoke. So something happened. What was going on? What caught fire there?
I didn't know there was smoke, but there's a very expensive camera that's parked like in the inside of these 180s. You can't have a person standing there, because if this were to happen, they'd get hit. So it's just a robotic camera. He hit it, destroyed the camera. And then we were rehearsing actually at that time, so it was hilarious. So we're following the now dead camera being carted off the track as if it's a carcass.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start in our headsets playing like sad piano music, like, oh, in memoriam, this camera gave all for the Supercross race.
So,
and I was like, man, great work finding the sad piano music quickly. And they're like, yeah, that's actually a video we shot of Michael Moseman randomly playing the piano in an airport 2 years ago. and then they actually showed the footage. Like, someone on our TV crew, Doreen, who's in charge of replays, saw him in the airport, shot on her iPhone, and then just played that clip. And it was perfect, sad, the camera is dead music.
Oh.
Just the wonders of Michael Moseman.
That's awesome.
Never cease.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible.
Moseman's ceiling and floor are wide and vast.
Oh. Yes.
So after Jordan got going, that camera tower just started smoking. Like a fire.
No, we were watching the camera being carted off.
Yeah, I thought there was a fire, and then a Dig Dug came over, and both Dig Dugs were sort of anxious about what was going on. So ask somebody about that, Weech. Ask them what the smoke was. Like, it was a little fire was going in with the camera. So
we asked how much those cameras cost, and I was told in the six figures. That's what that camera cost.
Oh. Well, listen, Jordan crashed in the six figures Saturday.
And to add injury to insult, one of the crashes was Moseman flipping. Was that in the heat?
Yes.
I think?
Yeah.
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 So Jordan, I talked to Jordan on Friday, and he's like, I think I'm good riding. I just, you know, can't take a hit to the ribs. And then what happens in the first lap of the heat? Moseman endos, and his rear tire hits Jordan right in the ribs.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I think Jordan crashed 8 to 10 times. JT?
Yeah, it was a lot, man.
It was unbelievable.
Every time I saw him, it was because the yellow flags drew me to him.
Yeah, it was something else, man. It was first race back after the injury in Glendale, and holy shit, I've never seen somebody crash that many times and still get a 12th all through the day. Like, yeah, Marshall Welton's up there this year. Marsh is taking digger after digger after digger. But, yeah, it was such a rough day for Jordan Smith. Hunter Yoder qualified well. And then in the heat, I think he got fourth in the heat. He rode really good in the heat. 13th on the night. Parker Ross, Dylan Walsh. Avery Long was good in the heat, too, I think. Derek Kelly is down at Club MX riding and just trying to stay on two wheels. Derek Kelly was very fast also in the unseated practice. But I think track conditions helped that a little bit. But still riding pretty well. And Stav Orland made the main, too. That's his first one. He's from Uganda or Israel.
He looked good, man.
Yeah, he's really good.
He looked good. He was crushing the whoops. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a little confused. He is from Uganda, but he's ridden for Israel at the Donations.
Two countries that really aren't that similar.
They're not next to each other.
Jewish.
To yeah, I don't know.
Israeli, Jewish, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the deal is.
But I think Stav was way off the pace. I think this ride came out of nowhere. Maybe I need to go back and look at some results, but
I don't remember him being close.
No.
This is only his fourth Supercross.
Oh, it
I
is?
Think that he's attempted.
Okay. I don't think he
I don't really know what his deal is because he showed up. He raced all the Nationals last year, but I don't know if he's been like a pro, you know, somewhere outside the United States for 5 years or if he's like brand new. I don't know what his background is before that. But yeah, Supercross, I don't think he's even done every one.
You had him on the Weed Show, didn't you, last year?
Yeah, I think at High Point.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. I cannot be sure that I even realized he was racing Supercross this year. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, what?
Yeah. I think his other Supercross races, he's been way back. So I think this was a big improvement. So cool. Cool to see.
Yeah. I haven't noticed him until he got, I think, 10th in the heat. And I'm like, wait, that guy's racing Supercross?
Albright crashed out? I didn't see that, I don't think.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Bummer. And then Brandon.
That turn we're talking about, that flat turn, he was like parked there for a couple laps.
Oh, I
did. Trying to get his bike going, I think.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Deegs has, hold on, 14 points on Julian with two rounds to go. Denver and the Salt Lake.
14. At least a showdown also.
What's that?
Philadelphia.
Oh, Philly. Yeah. Also
showdown.
So it's not over. Like, Julian was better this race for sure. So 14, it looks really good for Deegs, but we got more races to go. I thought Davies would be closer. I forgot Davies had a really shitty what race was that? I forget. He was way back at one of them.
But he had just had crashes at a lot of races too. We weren't really focused on him, but he was making mistakes back there and kind of floundering around 6th, 7th.
Yep. Awesome. Anything else to the class? 450 class?
Want to talk Deegs some more?
I'm just getting old, man. Just getting old. Just getting old.
I was joking. I really didn't want to.
Yeah. No. And I know it. But, you know, the ability of someone, you need to look in the mirror and realize, you know, my faults. And my fault is I'm just too old. Just where I like getting arrested is a bad thing. And if I get arrested, can I sell merch? Would I make some? I don't need to make as much as Deegs, but I mean, maybe I need to capitalize this. I would feel really bad, and I would not want people to know. But maybe that's
some
not
of
it.
Your takes over the years. I would like to have had you arrested.
Fair. Thanks everybody for coming to the live show. By the way, that was fun. Really good time. Those are always great. A lot of questions from the audience, and thanks to Lars and Lewis for coming on board as well for special guests. So. I did pay back Lars for the Uber, so don't worry, guys. I got that. That'll come out of your cut. So,
great shows. These are always fun. Really, the questions from the audience really make or break it. And everyone usually does a good job of asking not dumb, obvious questions, but either intriguing stuff or, you know, person saying she would love to take Lewis back to her hotel room just because of his accent and Indy.
Yep,
things like that.
It's fantastic. No, thanks, everybody. Appreciate that. Fly Racing, Racer X podcast. And, thanks to the sponsors. Thank you, people, for watching. We're on to Boston. Is this a day race? Is Philly a day race?
Boston is not. Philly is, and East Rutherford is, both day races. The other two are night.
All right. I don't think I'm going to Boston, so. Weed, you going?
You don't think you're going? It's like in 6 days.
Yeah, I got to look at tickets and stuff still. I'm on the fence.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No.
I'm sure they'll be reasonably
No, no, honestly, with the rip-off artist that United Airlines is, the prices really don't change much, for real. They really don't. It's insane.
Real part-time effort you're putting in here lately.
Listen, man, if I don't go...
I'm listening.
If I don't go, which I would lean towards that right now.
Yeah, same.
14 out of 17? Not good enough? Part-time?
That is part-time.
14 out of 17 is part-time?
Yes.
Okay.
By definition.
I disagree, but okay. We'll see.
Well, you're never winning this one against JT. I don't even know why you would throw that map.
Yeah, sorry, JT. I didn't go to Sardinia on the off week. So.
Neither.
My bad.
It hasn't happened yet. It's next weekend.
Weed, are you going? Are you in? Where are you in the booth next?
No, that's it for booth for me. I'm at everything but Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. I'm not going to. The other ones, I'm either doing a pre-race show or race day live. So this weekend, I'm race day live in Lurch Perch in Foxborough.
It's a pretty...
And also New Jersey and Denver.
Do you not think you'll find your way to Pittsburgh? I mean, it's kind of like a new venue and people are really excited about it and you used to live there, kind of?
No, I wanted to. I did kind of say I wasn't scheduled for a lot of them. And I'm just like, I want to get to some combination of Philadelphia or New Jersey, Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't begging. It turns out Travel Baseball has an actual away, have to stay in a hotel thing, and it happened to be the Pittsburgh weekend, so I wasn't really complaining. I'm like, if you need me, I'll be there.
Yep.
If you don't, I got something else to do. And I'm sure people hate when they hear this. They're probably like, we don't care about your dumb kid and his dumb baseball. Just coming to the races. I'm aware.
What about, are you in for the dinner that my dear friend has set up for us?
That's Thursday night?
Yes.
In New York?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Sad. Okay.
Yeah, well, because you said, 6:30 on Thursday?
Something like that.
I don't think I'm there that early.
Sad. Yeah. All right.
But now there's a day race. Are we having a day race? Really? Is it really to fill a live window on NBC, or is it because everybody's like, well, we got to go to New York City at some point?
Yeah, I don't.
Both can be true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Because I feel like we had a day race in Nashville a couple times, and everybody's like, are they doing this on purpose?
Right. Yeah, fair. Fair to ask that. All right, everybody. Well, listen, series has been great. Good racing in Seattle and Boston this weekend. So Fly Racing, RacerX Podcast, Maxis, Renthal, Motorsport.com, Onyx Maps, and JT Weej. All right, boys, thanks.
See ya. See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.